balance?
Now, that actually was one of the most common questions. In the 22 cities that I visited and showed this video, these two videos, they asked that question a lot. And actually, people do lose the lenses and the lens caps and are arrested for videotaping. And we do have like a whole series of video just of attacks against video people. And usually what happens is there'll be plainclothes cops are the ones that come up and grab the lenses off the video camera because it makes it harder to identify these people. And they have special laws now so that you can't identify plainclothes cops and so on, even when they're in violation of your civil rights. And they do, we do lose a certain amount of equipment and to the San Francisco Police Department because they are upset about us videotaping them. But they make these arrests every day, and we have several video cameras that come out so that we have videotape of them actually taking lens caps and trying to pull the lenses off of video cameras. And we have videotape of them arresting people who have video cameras and camcorders. And so that does happen.
So as you took these videos around from city and showed them in city after city, what were some of the reactions you got? I know you mentioned that some people asked about, well, aren't the cops concerned about being filmed? But overall, what was kind of like the gut reaction that people displayed after watching these videos?
Well, I think the most moving and telling example is when I went to St. Louis, Missouri, and showed St. Louis food not bombs and the general public there. About like maybe 30 people showed up to that event, and a small room at the University, Washington University, and they had a real large video screen, so you could really get a full effect of what was happening. And at the end of the two videos, after the two videos were shown, the Greatest Hits one I always showed second, I turned to the audience to take questions, and every single person in the audience, all 30 people, were crying. They had tears running down their eyes. Now, I think that the reason everybody was so dramatically affected is because of the high quality image and the resolution of that particular video equipment. But that was common throughout the tour. There was always several people, maybe a half dozen to a dozen people, that were in tears by the end of the second show, because it's so disturbing to see people so violently beaten for sharing free food. You know, just innocent people that are trying to help out who are just being brutalized. And you could hear also during the video, there's these like areas between we have words, the food not bombs, says food not bombs is nonviolent, Keith McHenry is nonviolent, call 1-800-884-1136 for more information. So there'd be this quiet space between the different segments.
And the food not bombs members who took these videos, they're just amateur people with video cameras. In other words, there's no trick photography at work here. What you see on the video is exactly the way it happened.
Right, that's what you see. And when you get to these blank spaces, you would hear the whole crowd go, you know, you could just hear the sigh. And that was, and it happens like six times. There's this silence between the six different attacks, and then by the end of it, you can just hear the people going, sobbing. It was very intense. And then to go from city to city, the people then afterwards, of course, they'd ask all these questions, like what about the issue of the permit and so on, and I talked about my three strikes case before I showed the two videos, so people were aware that it was very heavy. Not only were there violence, but people like myself were facing life in prison for being involved in trying to stand up for the rights of the homeless. And they would also see the connection that I explained we had to go to micropowered broadcasting because the mainstream media wouldn't cover the story. So we were forced into a position of doing unlicensed FM radio. And the other problem was vigilantes keep tearing down all the flyers and all the bulletin boards in the city, so you can't keep any information up.
Well, I mean, I also understand there were instances in front of San Francisco City Hall where Food Not Bombs members were arrested just for handing out literature.
Absolutely. I mean, I was arrested for handing out literature numerous times, and I was charged with felony possession of stolen property for using milk crates as a table because the police took all of our tables. The police have taken 42 six-foot folding tables with corresponding boxes of literature, books, and buttons and bumper stickers, and all of our signs and banners. So they're systematically trying to erase the words "food not bombs" from the culture, and yet they're so far have completely failed.
So Food Not Bombs has responded to this clampdown against handing out literature by the police, to this neighborhood campaign of ripping flyers off of telephone poles and the media blackout that you mentioned. Food Not Bombs has responded to all this by what? Going to clandestine radio broadcasting?
That's one of the main things we've done, is unlicensed radio broadcasting. That's been the principal way we've been able to get the news out, and plus we've been making these videos and distributing them to cable access TV, and a lot of local community leaders around the United States have been willing to put it on the community access TV, and we get tons of calls every time that's shown. The other thing is, by just going on this tour, I started out, as I say, like in Dallas, then went to Fort Worth, went to Austin, New Orleans, Atlanta, Asheville.
And what did you find in all these places about local issues and people organizing against the government repression that's coming down?
Well, in every single city I found, in all 22 cities, there was huge activist community. And the people in the activist community, they were not coming from a position, well, let's write more letters to the government, although I'm sure they wrote their fair share of letters like everybody, requesting that the government and the corporations stop their attacks against us. But the thing that was very amazing is that these people, well, first of all, the Food Not Bombs people I met in each city were in total glowing with pride and dignity because of the experiences they'd already had just in sharing free food and in organizing efforts. I mean, the people were very inspired by being associated with Food Not Bombs, but also these people are very smart and sophisticated politically. They have a very broad understanding of how there's corporate control of the government and how the corporations and the government are working together to deny us our civil rights, to force us into slave jobs or possibly not even being paid at all. There is a very good understanding about the ideology of people are very much opposed to following a charismatic leader, and I was treated with a great deal of respect, but I was not worshipped, which I thought was very, very important. These people have a sense of self-empowerment, and they understand that they need to be doing things on their own, independent of asking for permission or from people in power. They're empowered themselves, and that was, and it's very large. What people don't understand, I think, because the way the media manipulates events so strongly, there is this huge, huge groundswell of support for liberation and revolution in the United States, just huge, particularly amongst young people that are in college and in high school, but also with I ran into many, many people who were activists in the 60s who had just now started becoming activists again, saying that whole trip of supposedly growing up and knowing better and getting a real job and joining the mainstream culture was actually a dead-end road that was just leading us down a path towards total devastation and destruction. So I ran into lots of former radicals turned radical again, and young people.
The mainstream media is trying to say, especially now in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing, that anyone who believes that the government is conspiring or plotting to suspend the Constitution or deny us our constitutional rights. Anyone who believes that is some kind of wacko crazy. But now you found a lot of people out there then who actually believe that there is some reason to be to fear the government.
Well, not only
and these aren't people who are in militias or anything. These are just ordinary people out there.
Right. Well, actually, I ran into a lot of militia people. An amazing number of people are in militias all over the United States. The militia supporters came to many of these events as well. And this is all based on flyers and word of mouth and getting into almost all left journals and stuff, like Earth First Journal and stuff like that. Yet I was attracting people, and Food Not Bombs, this event, was attracting people from a wide variety of different types of communities. And I have to admit, I wore the Food Not Bombs button, and I was in like these little tiny towns where there was like only 8 people in a town in some places, like in New Mexico and stuff. And you would assume these people would be conservative and totally pro-government. What I found out was I didn't find anybody that had respect for the government. I did not find any person who thought that the government and the corporations were doing the right thing. People, when they saw the Food Not Bombs button, they'd strike up a conversation with me, and I'd be like in some gas station in Iowa, and the gas station attendant would go, "Wow, what a good idea, Food Not Bombs," you know, and we'd say, "Yeah, you know, this is terrible what the government is doing to us," and every person said, "Yes, absolutely, we are being... we're, you know, our future is being destroyed," and it affects people at all kinds of classes, like you know, people, homeowners and small business people, and the homeless, the unemployed, college students, particularly young adults that see no future in the direction that this culture is going in, and that is a huge number of people who have withdrawn from the mainstream society and have gone out and created their own society. My personal feeling is that it was in the area of probably, it's definitely 100 people who are completely dedicated towards creating an alternative to the system that currently exists. Now, some of them were coming from a libertarian point of view, some of them from a communist point of view, and many of them from an anarchist point of view. But the one thing, even the middle American workers, they I found in every instance that they were enraged by the direction of the United States and the direction of the world, and there is a lot of solidarity. And this dividing amongst the right and the left, I think that is something that is definitely being encouraged by the corporations and the government, and trying to say that there's an extreme left and extreme right, and they're both wacky. I found that there is a lot of shared concern by militia members, by the Patriots movement, by the anarchist community, the punk community, by the Food Not Bombs movement. And there is a growing revolutionary movement that is huge. It's certainly rivaling that of the mainstream community.
McKinley returned from his journey carrying disturbing impressions of an America in which society is rapidly disintegrating.
And in every city, they've been issued riot tanks, these armored vehicles with water cannons. Every town you go to has these. Austin had a couple of them. San Francisco has 3 or 4 of them. Dallas had some. Houston had some. Boston had been issued them. Philadelphia, New York. All the towns in the U.S., all the cities in the U.S. have been issued crowd control armored vehicles with these giant rubber tires and these water cannons on the top. Every town I ran into had that. Every town was fighting over a downtown ballpark that the rich wanted to put downtown, while there was hundreds of buildings abandoned in every city. You go to St. Louis, like I was in East St. Louis, which is a town that financially collapsed in, I guess, 3 years ago. It hasn't had a city government. And in fact, it was just that week giving the city hall the actual title to the building. The city hall building was being given to a victim of police violence in East St. Louis, and they don't longer have a police department, and they haven't had trash pickup in 3 years. And you could see the houses that were abandoned before 3 years ago, because there's no trash outside of them. The houses that are currently inhabited in East St. Louis have a pile of trash that's the size of the house or greater. And then in St. Louis itself, you could drive. I drove for the first hour on University Avenue in St. Louis, and there was not one house inhabited. They're all mansions that were boarded up and abandoned. 1 hour of driving, and never seen a house that had anybody living in it. In St. Louis, one of the major cities of the United States.
So, I mean, what is this? Is it like a no man's land?
It's the United States.
It's under jurisdiction of what? The federal government?
No, it's supposed to. Well, the East St. Louis is now just an area within.
Within the greater part of St. Louis?
Well, no, it's across the river. It's in the neighboring state, and it has just no authority, nothing. It's run by people with, Uzis and M16s that just do whatever they want.
So are you talking about a breaking down of the infrastructure?
Absolutely. In all areas, the roads everywhere were completely filled with potholes. The bridges were falling apart. You had to drive around huge holes in the streets, and every single city that I went to was that way. There was there were budget cuts in every city. There was budget cut rallies. There were rallies in support of the Zapatistas in each of the communities I went to. There was amazing front page coverage in some cities about police violence. Every place I went to had overflow crowds. When I spoke, say in D.C., people were out into the hallway looking in the windows. Same in virtually every place. I was at the Ace Base in Philadelphia. People were in the street looking in at the videos because they couldn't fit into the room.
Listening to part one of an interview with Food Not Bombs co-founder Keith McHenry. We'll bring you part two of that interview on our next program. I'm Richard Edmondson for the Food Not Bombs Radio Network. If you'd like to attend the Food Not Bombs International Gathering June 15th through the 26th in San Francisco, call Food Not Bombs at 1-800-884-1136. Free food and housing will be available. Once again, that's 1-800-884-1136.
Second part will probably be played today around 3:30 during Skidmark Bob Show. Couple quick announcements. I got this letter the other day about the lower ocean. And Jeff Locke, who's the Deputy Chief of Police for Santa Cruz Police Department, wrote to all these concerned citizens over in the Beach Flats area, Lower Ocean area to be precise, and it goes like this. I wanted to let you know about some of the enforcement activities that have taken place in and around your neighborhood this year since January 1st. We have done 3 Santa Cruz Police Department undercover projects resulting in over 15 arrests for prostitution and possession of sales of drugs. The Santa Cruz County Narcotics Enforcement Task Force CNET did a major investigation surrounding the Lil Seaside Lounge for sales and possession of narcotics. I've attached a copy of the press release for your information. I realize enforcement strategies alone cannot solve neighborhood problems. So a police officer himself is going to seek to deal with these problems, saying Members of the police department, including myself, city council, and other city departments, will be attending the Neighbors of Lower Ocean neighborhood meeting, which is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 31st, at the Unity Church at 407 Broadway, Santa Cruz. If you have any questions about the meeting or need special accommodations, contact Eric Larson at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 423-1626. Call Eric. I'm sure he'll help you out. Anyway, this meeting again is 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 31st, and I encourage all you to come out. Encourage not just the people in the Lower Flats area, I think everybody or anybody who's been abused by the police, or anybody who has any issues with more cops. They've already added two more cops to this area that's down on the beach flats, and I already feel, I live in the area, and I feel uncomfortable myself, just walking around and seeing cops everywhere. It's going to get to the point to where anybody with brown skin is basically deemed a drug dealer. I have brown skin, and that's bullshit, you know. We shouldn't have this in our area. We shouldn't have the police department taking care of things for us. We shouldn't have the police department who's going to clean up the town and take care of the drug problem. I don't think white men with guns are going to solve anything. So that again, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 31st, at the Unity Church at 407 Broadway Street, Santa Cruz. And also, in the letter at the end, he's all saying, I look forward to meeting all you on the 31st. If I can answer any questions, be of service, and I am available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 429-3738. That's Deputy Chief of Police Jeff Locke. Call him up and tell him what you think about two more cops in your neighborhood. 429-3738. That number again, 429-3738. It's also signed by Patty Sapone, Patricia A. Sapone, Lieutenant, Operations Division. If you remember back on New Year's Eve of, I think it was 93, when there was that riot, so-called riot at the clock tower, but she's the one that led the cops in there to beat people for just being there and drumming and having a good time. Tonight, May 23rd, 6 p.m., meet at the bridge, rain or shine. Bladers, walkers, wheelchair users also welcome. People power mass bike ride to save the bridge. Westcliff Bridge downtown. Meet at 6 p.m. at the bridge by the Dream Inn for a mass of cyclists to go to the 7 o'clock city council meeting. Fight for Access, UC System-Wide Action, May 17 caravan to UC Berkeley from UC Riverside. May 18th, march from UC Berkeley Regent Meeting. These are eliminating affirmative action, cuts in financial aid, skyrocketing fees. Join UC students, staff, and faculty in San Francisco and tell the Regents to stop and turn back the clock. Rally at Regent Meeting on Laurel Heights, and that'll be May 17th and May 18th. Call the University of California Student Association, 926 J Street, number 803, Sacramento, 95814. Since you just listened to that Food Not Bombs tape, Food Not Bombs got a meal happening right now over at Loud and Nelson Park, and I encourage all of you to come on out there and check it out. Free food. Actually, I helped cook for them this morning. And it's a tofu scramble type thing, and we've got coffee, and good clean water, and probably some pastries, and stuff like that. So head on out there, and get involved with Food Not Bombs. They need your help. You can call Food Not Bombs at 425-3345. That's 425-3345 if you want to volunteer, or if you want to donate food, or time. They also have a meal tomorrow at 4 p.m. Farmers Market at Cathcart and Pacific. Come on out. Come on out and get involved. The way things are happening in this town, we have to get involved.
Cordless, man. He's out just wandering around and shit.
Yeah?
That's kind of cool, man. Just walk around the park, jamming out, listen to yourself, cross the street and shit.
Yeah. Were you guys just smoking marijuana here? Is that what... Were you smoking...
Incense.
Incense.
Incense?
I mean, incense? What?
Incense for best...
Oh, what do you have there? It's 89.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're getting high in San Lorenzo Park. I'm sorry, out of Nelson Park. God, I'm already stoned, man.
You're what? We're becoming communally aware. I mean, community, yeah.
You
want to
say anything for Free Radio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
want to
say something, Bob. You're on fire.
Oh, man, I'm stoned. Anyway, we'll have more interviews. Skid Mark Bob, as they happen. 89.3.
Round UN Plaza, June 15th through the 26th in San Francisco. A lot of shit's going to be happening in San Francisco. Send this police review board. Call them up if you've been abused or seen abuse. Call them up and complain. Get the officer's badge number and name. They must roll them clearly. Write it down and take it to them. And they will somewhat overview a little more than just a regular internal affairs office does, because cops, backup cops. And the number for them is 429-3262. That's 429-3262. Santa Cruz Needle Exchange. You need a new rig. Next is 430 today at Coral Street. 430 to 530. They'll be giving them away at Coral Street, doing a needle exchange. Get down there and get a new rig. Don't be sharing with other people.
It is known that there are an infinite number of worlds, but that not everyone is inhabited. Therefore, there must be a finite number of inhabited worlds. Any finite number divided by infinity is as near to nothing as makes no odds. So if every planet in the universe has a population of zero, then the entire population of the universe must also be zero. And any people you may actually meet from time to time are merely the products of a deranged imagination.
Just once means you could choose. unlimited growth, which you cannot have with limited resources, and we keep letting these fools do this shit? You know, what are we thinking here? What are we thinking? You know, like the little boy says, I have a 12-year-old, and one day he came home and said, yeah, I saw the funniest thing today. I saw this guy, you know, he's got all these politically correct bumper stickers on his van, and one of them he had right next to the exhaust pipe said, stop pollution. My 12-year-old can get the irony in this, is that we're saying one thing and we're doing another thing in our personal lives. If you know you don't like pollution, carpool. Find other people that need to go where you go, when you need to go there, and get all of them in your car. Little bitty things. This stuff can work. And one of the problems we have in America is that we don't know about protracted struggle. We haven't learned that sometimes revolutions take a long, long time. As an African American, I will attest to that. We've been dealing with this shit for 400 years, and it's time for it to end. But the only way it's going to end is for us to start doing things so that we start communes again. It was a good idea in the 60s. See, I'm one of these old people. I grew up in the 60s. And those were good ideas. Because when you get near communes and stuff and you learn that, well, maybe I can defend myself. I'm not violent. I'm going to go out and hurt anybody. But if I'm on my farm with 30 other people and we decide to grow some herb and these people decide they want to come and try to make us stop growing marijuana, what are you going to do? Go, oh, I'm sorry. Here, just take all my reefer. It's okay. I'm sorry. You know, either you can do that, or you can say, get your ass off my land now, period. And we will back it up. It's on you. It's on you. See, like I tell you, you know, there's a saying in the ghetto. You know, we're talking about how people come to us with all these nasty things and stuff. But there's a saying we say in the ghetto, you got to bring some ass to get some ass. So when they come up in your face and they're telling you what you can or can't do with your body. Because see, one of the funny things about it is our country was founded on people that decided that a long time ago that it's not cool for somebody else to tell you what you can do in your house and with your body. Read John Stuart Mill and Thomas Paine. Read some of these old patriots. That's why I call myself a revolutionary, because I listened to what they had to say. Even though they were slave owners, even though they were sexist, even though they had all these, they had the foresight to think maybe someday people won't be as screwed up as we are, and they can take advantage of this document called the Constitution, which, by the way, was written on hemp, in case you didn't know. Okay? There is something we can do. And there's a way to do it and a way to start doing it. And the first place is to start talking to each other. Don't be afraid to let people know what you feel. Remember when you were little and you were, or even as you got older and you think, why do people own things? How can somebody sell land? Where did they get the right to sell this land? See, we need to start questioning this stuff from the very basis, because we're accepting it from the bottom up. But we need to study that bottom again. Okay, so these people came across with slaves, killed off all these Indians, ripped off all the buffalo, fed them smallpox, all kinds of things, so they can sell us land? Because every month I pay rent, I feel like I'm paying homage to homicidal maniacs, genocidal maniacs. You know, every month. I'm saying, here, you're right. Here's your money. You were absolutely right. You should have come across here with manifest destiny and killed everything in your sight. That was perfectly right. Here's my money. Every month I do that. Every month all of us do it. And you know why? Because if you don't, there will be coming people at your door with guns and badges and clubs, and they will kick your ass and take you out. How much longer will we allow people to kick our ass and take us away? How much longer are we going to do this? But I'm telling you, it's scary. Like I said, I used to be in the Black Panther Party. Believe me, I never thought that I'd be 42 years old. I never thought I would get this here, stay on this earth this long. And I thank God every day that I did get to do that, because I have a beautiful son I want to see grow up and have grandchildren, all that stuff. But if because of what I say to you and because of what I do in my life, they decide to put a bullet in my brain, so be it. That's life. You can't be afraid of death if you're going to fight for life. You understand? Because these people will do anything. Anything. We have allowed a culture to develop that will destroy the whole earth to make a profit. And you know it. All of you know it. You know damn well they'll do it. But instead of us fighting as hard as we can, we go, well, I really wish they wouldn't do that. And I don't know what to do. Well, first thing, start talking to each other. Start talking. Let your heart out. Stop keeping that stuff in. It's killing all of us. I know it's killing me. It's time for us to stop holding that stuff in and worrying about what somebody's going to say about us, or what the effects might be on our career, or what the effects might be in our home situation. If you feel these things, deal with them. Talk about it. Talk about all these little political things, everything from the fact that every 50 seconds some woman has had the shit beat out of her, every 30 seconds a woman is raped, to how many African-American men have been killed by police in this country. More African-American men have been killed by police in this country than on both sides in the Irish War. And they call that a war. They don't call this a war. We know it's a war. the war on drugs. If you smoke marijuana, take your seeds and plant them everywhere you can possibly think. Everywhere. Everywhere. They cannot get rid of all of it. Teach your children about respecting each other. Teach your brothers and sisters about respecting each other. When you see your brother going off on somebody, on his girlfriend, pull him to the side and say, that ain't cool, man. You can't do that no more. You know, we don't do that in this community. We don't do that. If you see somebody abusing their child, call them an idiot, doing little nasty things to them, pull them to the side and say, I know it's really hard being a single parent, but give your kid a break. It's not his fault or her fault. This is on us, folks. We can do some things, and we can get this done. Don't give up hope. Whatever you do, keep that spark inside you alive. Don't let anyone put it out for anything, even if they got a gun stuck to your head. You remember that freedom is the most important thing that we will ever know on this earth besides love. And love has a lot to do with freedom, because we love each other enough not to want each other to suffer. And we talk about hate all the time and how bad it is, but we very seldom talk about the opposite. We never very seldom talk about love, because it sounds so touchy-feely and everybody's scared and they'll talk about you badly. Let them talk about you. Let them talk about you. Talk about them in a loving way. So, like I said, folks, this is on us. And I hope throughout the evening you talk to each other. When you leave here, you talk to your friends. Figure out how to make food collective so that you buy food in bulk and distribute it from your house so that you don't have to go to stores at all and pay packaging and all that stuff. Learn how to do these things. Okay? It's on us. And I love you all. God bless.
89.3. Yeah.
Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to excerpts from Community Awareness Day. That was last Saturday. And that was Simba Kenyatta. Excuse me. Can't breathe too well. It's kind of bright in here, actually. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3.
I was born in a land I don't think you understand. God damn! What I- Wow.
Get up, 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 get up